dumb it down. Communicate it like you're selling to your grandmother. Very simple call outs like free shipping. This is what it does. How does it simplify your life? Dummy proof. It's the best way.
A lot of the time, the content that we were building that was the most effective had no clips of the creator talking to the camera. People want to see what you're trying to sell them. And the nicest thing about doing that is then you could take the voiceover from one creator and mix it with somebody else's product shot. So then you've got the best voiceover and the best product shot. And that was really where we saw the scale that we were looking for. Sometimes we use the same video 16 times and it just takes a different voiceover and that's what takes off. So you really just need to be open to playing with different styles of content. Take some time, sit down and do it, and it pays off in the end.
In marketing, content is everything, but keeping up with the never-ending demand for UGC photos and videos along with generating product reviews at scale can be brutal. Koli solves this problem with their content generation platform. Koli is like a content fairy godmother, providing stunning photos, videos, and reviews that help turn your potential customers into happy ones. Bid farewell to exorbitant production costs and embrace the magic of Koli's solutions. World-renowned brands like Samsonite and Bonobos trust Koli's cutting-edge software and outrageously skilled customer success team to create the marketing assets they need. Transform your content game by visiting koli.com/podcast. It's all killer, no filler, the D2C podcast. I'm Eric Dick, and today we are here with Jocelyn and Nikita from Pilot House to talk about a recent presentation Jocelyn gave to our creative team all about how Pilot House thinks about creatives, specifically for paid social, maybe for all platforms, from start to finish. And so, Jocelyn, why don't you start us off with this concept of low-hanging fruit that we were just discussing?
Totally. So low-hanging fruit is a pretty common term we use at Pilot House. It's basically when we first get into an account, we're digging around, we realize that they're not utilizing or leveraging half the things that they're just already doing as a brand. It's like perfectly curated content. It's like a perfectly ripe fruit, perfectly in your reach, but it's almost like the brand doesn't realize that that's a ripe fruit. And so it's really nice when we come in because we realize it's right there. So it's this nice little list of foundational creatives and just leveraging what they're doing already as a brand in the paid media space.
Why don't you just list off all these things, and then we'll go into detail on a few that you think are most deserving.
Totally. Yeah, there's a few. I say probably one of the strongest ones, and obviously Nikita will dive into, is UGC content, you know, or content created content, as seen in testimonials, box shots, which are highly underrated, if you ask me, socials poll, USP callouts, product split testing, and founders content. And lastly, behind the scenes and warehouse content. It's all low-hanging fruit for us.
And so when you say that founders are just, they have this content is what you're saying, right? Like everyone has a founder story. Everyone has a warehouse. Everyone has probably, they've been seen in Forbes or one of these type magazines. That's what you mean about it being low-hanging fruit, right?
Yeah, it's already out there. It's just basically formatting it in a way for paid media. Super easy.
What do you find are the ones that are most often missing? Like probably a lot of them in a lot of cases from their ad mix?
Yeah, I would say a lot of people are trying to create things that look like ads. You know, that's what we've been told in previous years, but obviously we've seen a shift from things that look like ads, like look very corporate, to something that looks more organic and looks like, you know, your best friend texted you something about a product that you're in love with and you should check it out. It's basically leveraging that, like screenshots of articles, stuff like that. A picture of founders just happy in their garage making something. People really want to see the people behind a product to show that it's a human, right? It's not a bot. There's people behind it. They have motivation. So it's really communicating that through the content that they're already creating.
I feel like box shots are just such a good thing to call out as well, because it's like when you see that box sitting at your doorstep when you come home or you look out, that's almost like peak anticipation in a way, before you even have the product, before whether you know if it fits or not, if you love it or if you don't, you have all this potential that just lives in that box. So I feel like there's a lot of power in the box. Would you agree?
Oh yeah. Like it's one of the funniest things to ask a client. Usually we'll get them to send us content or you know, products so we can check it out. But we're like, can we just take a picture of the box full of products and that's it? No text, no anything else. It's maybe even fuzzy. It's like an old iPhone. That sucker has made us millions of dollars. One box shot image. And it's always underestimated. And it's the first thing we ask for our clients. We're like, please just let us, especially that Black Friday. It's like the crumb of the crumb.
And is there some resistance? Because I bet brands, they love the beautiful treatments and renders mm-hmm. that they've created of their products. So there's probably some resistance to show that, like, how the sausage is made.
Totally. I mean, it's more framing it, again, like what I said. It's like your friend referring you to a product. It's like, look what I just got. It's like, how do you build that connection over a paid media space, something that you don't necessarily trust? So it's just showing it as is. Here it is. And people like seeing a lot of stuff. So like usually these boxes are filled or like overflowing. Same with like warehouse content, like just boxes stacked high. There's something about a lot that our eyes get really big and it's like this like child mentality is like must have, you know? It's something that it stops the scroll. It's like, what is that, you know, versus like something that's highly produced.
And then Nikita, around UGC, we talk about UGC all the time. How do you think of it as low-hanging fruit for people? What do you suggest they do right away to start picking that fruit?
Yeah. So if you think about it at the end of the day, like pretty much anybody can create UGC. And whether you want to do it in-house yourself or if you want to hire a team to do it, like it's a very flexible medium to use. And so the biggest thing that we do when we first start with an account is we kind of assess like how much UGC they have and like what their familiarity level is with it. And then from there, you build up different angles. And a lot of the time you will see too that all these angles that like Jocelyn talks about, you can fill with UGC as well. So UGC in its sense can be its own category, but it really fluctuates through everything and can support all of your different angles and all different creative styles.
Very cool. What else would you draw our attention here to? We've got USP callouts, so unique selling proposition callouts. That's probably the closest to what a traditional ad might look like when you say people are making ads, you know, putting unique selling points or selling propositions over top of an image. How do you guys suggest making your USP callout ads?
Dumb it down. Clients get really excited. They're close to the product, right? They've been in the process of making it. They've been in the process of choosing the technology to make it. And, you know, usually there's some sort of innovative advancements and no one else is doing it like that. But truthfully, no one really cares. It's not what gets you to buy the product. They don't, unless you're like a highly specialized person in that field, you're not going to know that that's a big deal. I remember someone from our team saying, like, communicate like you're selling it to your grandmother. Just very simple call outs, like free shipping. This is what it does. How does it simplify your life? Keep it as simple as possible. Dummy proof. It's the best way.
I think I've run into a lot of brands that seem to conflate benefits with features in a way, right? So they'll say it has this, it has, you're getting alkaline, you're getting your minerals, you're getting all these things, but you sort of have to take it that step further to benefit. So because so many people, they don't know why they would want to drink alkaline water or why they would want, they want the benefits that come on the other side of those unique selling propositions. So you have to dig that one level deeper, I guess, right?
Totally. It's the emotional connection. Like, what is it going to do for you? Is it going to give you energy? Are you going to feel better throughout your day? Stuff like that versus the actual like mechanism, but more the reaction.
And then we've got the As Seen In. There's that whole store at the mall now that's just the As Seen In store, and you can go and find all the infomercial products in there. But we're talking about anything that you've been in, whether it's, I imagine like Shark Tank is probably a great one. What else are people posting As Seen In content from?
Basically just slapping on logos, you know, if you were in Forbes, if you were in any type of magazine, or even if you're in a store. I think people underestimate too the fact that you're in Target or GNC. That's another layer of validation. Like if that company is carrying your product in those stores, it basically communicates there's a quality here. So even just going into one of those stores and taking a hand shot of your product or sticking the logo on a top performing ad, like those box shots, you just stick Forbes, As Seen in Forbes, super simple. Those go a very long way. Or even a screenshot of an article that you were in as well, using that in an ad.
I was talking with, I think it was the Bush Bomb founder, and he was talking about when he got into Ulta, his best performing ad was just literally going into Ulta and like taking video of his product in Ulta, taking photos of his product in Ulta, just in the wild. And that translated to ad, to ads worked extremely well as well.
Totally. It's huge.
We had one account that I was working with quite heavily with UGC, and for, I would say probably a couple months, that's all I was doing. I was talking with creators and I was saying, hey, like, all we want is for you to show us a video, like send us like a video of yourself talking in your car and then show us the product in the aisle and like you purchasing it. And it was super simple for these people to film and they just crushed. And the nicest thing too is because it's so organic, these people were able to then reuse that content. They could post it either on their own socials if we were looking to whitelist, or the brand could then reuse it on their organics as well. And the content flexibility for these as seen ads were like phenomenal. And they just, like I said, super easy to film, like Jocelyn was saying, could put it together. It doesn't take a ton of time, but the results you see are insane.
Are you a Shopify brand owner looking to win, keep, and grow your customers? Everyone knows apps are fast becoming the best way to increase retention and boost sales. A sleek and engaging app normally means two things, time and money. But AppTile have changed the game. Their seamless no-code editor enables beautiful, personalized journeys for every customer. And with their free plan, nothing is stopping you from getting started. You'll pay as you grow, not as you go. So whether you're just starting out or a Shopify superstar, head over to apptile.com today and start designing your dream app. We have testimonials here as another option for low-hanging fruit. How do testimonials in this case differ from UGC? Are you making montages of different testimonials, or are these just sort of raw individual testimonials?
Everything. Really leveraging that content, or just people volunteering their testimonials on your website, copy-pasting it, sticking it on top of an ad. So it's kind of someone else is communicating the benefits, not just you, right? Those go a very long way, even in just ad copy. Nikita, I'm sure you guys have even just like read out testimonials or even asked content creators to give their testimonials. Like oftentimes they're using the product, and we like to work with cool brands, and usually their products are amazing. So it's quite genuine. So it's just putting it out there in any and all forms, you know, copy and pasting a testimonial, screenshotting a testimonial. The fun thing that we like to do, you know, you tread lightly, is people's comments on ads. You know, if someone, it's really fun to see when other audiences kind of fight for a product for you. So it's like, this is pointless. Why do you need it? And someone's like, no, this changed my life. You know, just screenshotting that comment, blocking out, you know, names and personal information, sticking in an ad, it's another top performer.
And they're like, they're probably some of the most fun ads for us to create, because you can either work with the creator to answer, you know, commonly asked questions, you can address it from a very formal standpoint, or you can have fun with it and take into those, you know, sassier comments or people pumping you up, and like it totally, your brand personality comes through entirely in those ads. And I think that's one thing that people really resonate with and connect with, and is partially why they are so effective.
I just came across a guy on Instagram. His name's Marin. He said his ultimate testimonial hack was just to have I had problem until I discovered the thing. Now I'm something else, the transformation. So you just, with those 4 points, you can probably just get a decent testimonial from everyone, because you want to point to that transformation, right? You want to point to that thing that they accomplish on the other side of bringing that product into their life.
Absolutely. And I would say, like, especially with those testimonials, like formatting it as the problem solution, like you said, Eric, like problem solution ads are something in themselves, but if you can work it to be a testimonial, like you're kind of attacking it from multiple sides.
Very cool.
And I'd love to give one more point with, you know, the testimonials, the as seen in. It's funny because oftentimes some of our clients are a little bit reluctant, especially with negative comments or showing something in a store. But we say, like, face it head on. You know, if someone's making a negative comment about your product, maybe they're just misinformed, and that's an opportunity to inform them and to comment back and be like, hey, like, this is actually why we do that. This is why this is this price point, because we use high quality ingredients, you know, things like that. It's definitely not something to be scared of, but to kind of face head on, and people love it.
Very cool. Yeah. You need to have that conversational aspect to your brand at this point. Okay. We've got box shots. We covered socials pull. So these are just quotes directly from social media, like screenshots.
Pretty much. Yeah. As a content manager, the first thing we do usually when we get a client is we scroll through their organic social feeds and see what has the highest engagement, you know, what got it trending on TikTok, or what has the biggest likes and comments. And we pull that raw asset and just use it as is, or even just screenshotting it to show the information or the comments that people got, or seeing what people tag them in. Because interesting enough, sometimes what is the top selling product might not actually be the top like showing product, which gets the most views and comments. Like this was true for Big Blanket. Their fuchsia blanket, it's a bright pink blanket, was one of their top paid media images. And not many people were buying it because it's a bright pink blanket. It's not very neutral, you know, but it's interesting because that's what got people to click versus what people actually bought. So like high engagement, just, you know, figuring that out and seeing how what people respond to.
Cool. So we've got socials poll. We've got the USP call it, which we talked about. What's a product split test ad?
Very similar to what I just mentioned. So it's basically taking all your products or all your product colors, like your brand colors, and split testing them. So say you have a top performing product and just changing the background to all of your different brand colors and seeing how Meta responds to this. Because oftentimes the one that might not be your dominant brand color will probably be your top performer because it pops. It gets people to stop scrolling when they're in those doom scrolls of just aimlessly looking at content. Similar for products, just what I said, like your top selling product might not actually be your top performing product. So it's very important to keep that in mind and play around with those and split test them because oftentimes they're not, in my experience. So definitely keep those in mind of split testing them.
Very cool. And then founders content. We talk about founder story. I guess I've always thought of like a straight to camera. Hey, here's my story. I think of the Mudwater founder, you know, that I see every day in my feed through to a landing page that talks about that a little bit more. How do we think about founders content for low hanging fruit?
Totally. So some of our top founders content is really just like the founder sitting at a table trying to sell their product. Like back in the original days before they got into the DTC space, just showing that they're real humans and they're really trying to sell something great. It's usually simplified content, you know, that highly produced, polished, amazing thing that is on your website usually doesn't work on Meta. So it's really just grabbing a iPhone camera, a nice low quality iPhone camera, and just talking to it and be like, this is why we created this. This is what we like. Sometimes it can be walking around in the warehouse too, and just showing the world that you're in and what you've helped build and just sharing that with other people.
Very cool. And then behind the scenes warehouse stuff is just more, it's similar to the box shots, maybe just a little bit more of your organization, how it works.
Totally. And like packaging products and just kind of showing that human touch on it. We've had clients that have like hugged it and been like, oh, we're sending it with love. Like those go a long way, or just showing some fun that's happening in the warehouse. People love it. People like seeing behind the scenes, right? They like to humanize content and seeing what's happening behind the product.
Very cool. So those are nine excellent low-hanging fruit pieces of content that you can make. I wanted to just, I know that there was another slide that we previewed a little bit from your presentation, and I wanted to ask, like, once you have all of these concepts, once the low-hanging fruit is picked, what does the process look like for actually optimizing within each of these orchards or within each of these trees? Like, how do we think about either layering or delayering aspects from these ads in order to start optimizing them?
It's a great question. I mean, what I called it in that presentation, iteration station, isolating variables, that's the biggest thing. So sticking to one variable and keeping it constant and split testing to see what's the best performer. So say people really like the founder's content. All right, so do they like a static? Do they like a GIF? Do they like a video showing things without music or without subtitles? Because I've been seeing a lot of traction with that as well. So just split testing an angle that's working well for you and seeing what version of it is thriving the most and driving the most traffic and also like nice affordable costs in Meta.
Nikita, from a UGC's perspective, does that resonate as well? What are the main elements that you're changing in order to test different UGC content?
Absolutely. So our biggest thing is we'll take, you know, the top performers and we'll try and figure out what exactly is like catching their eye or ear or whatever you want to call it here. But the biggest thing I definitely found was the easiest way to do this is a lot of the time the content that we were building that was the most effective had no clips of the creator talking to the camera. And so it was all, you know, products like shots of the product being used or like unboxing and like just those engaging people want to see what you're trying to sell them. And the nicest thing about doing that is then you can remix different clips together. You can remix different voiceovers together. So you could take the voiceover from one creator and mix it with somebody else's product shot. So then you've got the best voiceover and the best product shot. And then that was really where we saw the scale that we were looking for. So it's a matter of just kind of fine tuning it. And, you know, sometimes we make the same, use the same video 16 times, and then it just takes a different voiceover, and then that's what takes it off. So you really just need to be open to playing with different styles of content, mashing things up, you know, recognizing when maybe something isn't up to par and when something really is. And it's just, it takes some time, sit down and do it, and it really, it pays off in the end, but you're gonna have to invest some time into it for sure.
And you, Justin, you called it a foundational creative is born. Sort of when you're able to really like piece, you know, Frankenstein these different pieces together and really figure out what works best from all different angles, you can build what you call a foundational creative, or a creative you can scale with too, right?
Totally. So yeah, so my definition of foundational creative is something that is data driven. We've, exactly what Nikita said, we have split tested the crap out of it. We have iterated the crap out of it. And like time over time, we finally found a concept, a style that has won. So that foundational creative is now my go-to for anything new that we want to do with a brand. So say they have a new product launch, or say they're trying to push a different angle or trying to hit a different goal. You know, that creative is my first go-to of, okay, I'm going to take that concept and put it in that creative. And it gives the best chance of scaling and, you know, creating the most profit without having to put a lot of time in. And it does, like, it's like overnight, you can see that the data-driven creative, the foundational creative, just scale up perfectly.
I keep thinking, I'm wearing a True Classic tee, and I keep thinking of that brand as someone that's, I think they're like a 2-year-old brand. They just came to the market with this angle of being like, hey, men's shirts make you look boxy. Your girlfriend doesn't like it when you wear those shirts. We have shirts that make you look good. And they've scaled to 100 million in 2 years on that one little angle, that one little twist on a very commodified, super red ocean space. But they found the exact right angle on it. They've been able to scale as big as they have on that one angle.
Totally. And you could ride it for a long time. You know, some of our clients are a little bit scared. They're like, oh no, like, what if this dies off? And sometimes it does, but sometimes those foundationals, they'll sit there for years making a lot of money, and you just got to let them do their thing. So definitely don't be scared of riding that same wave. If it's working, it's working, right?
Nice. Well, this worked great. Thank you both for coming on All Killer No Filler today. You killed it.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you're not getting the D2C newsletter, you can subscribe for free at directtoconsumer.co. And if you want to learn more about Pilot House's all-killer, no-filler services, take off to pilothouse.co. I'm Eric Dick, and this has been the D2C Podcast. We'll see you next time.